When students know that others will see their work, they want it to be good. When it's just for the teacher, they want it to be good enough. I love that quote from Rushton Hurley, and it's one of the many reasons that I think students creating products in the classroom should be a priority. On today's episode, I'm going to share with you why products are important, different types of products that your students can create, and how we as educators can provide authentic feedback to honor their work. Enjoy. Hey there, and welcome to A Meaningful Mess podcast. Before we get started, I just want to say thanks for listening. I'm your host, Andy McNair. I love sharing about and advocating for gifted education, talking about passion-based learning, aka Genius Hour, and just sharing practical ways to make learning meaningful for today's learners. If this is your first time to listen, please check out the trailer episode to learn more. But for now, let's dive into today's episode. Here we go. Welcome to episode 65 of A Meaningful Mess podcast. Today, I want to talk all about student products. You know, I think sometimes we think about student products as something that can only happen with PBL or can only happen when our students are working on a project. And the reality is that is where it fits in best. But creating products to demonstrate what they've learned is really best practice in the classroom. And it gives us an opportunity to see, did our students actually understand what was taught? And let me explain that a little bit further. So I think sometimes I think about myself when I was a really traditional teacher and I taught in that checklist way of, okay, I taught this. But what I was forgetting or what I was not understanding was that it didn't matter if I had taught something, if my students hadn't learned it. And ultimately, it didn't matter if they learned it, if they didn't understand it. And that kind of leads me to the idea of Webb's depth of knowledge. And I'll share a link to that resource in the show notes. But when we think about depth of knowledge, and you think about level 4, that deepest level of understanding, that happens when a learner can take what has been shared or what has been learned, and they can do something with it. They can apply it through creating something new. And creating a product is a really great way to make that happen. So even if you're not full on PBL or you haven't jumped on that train yet, creating products is not something that I think is exclusive to that practice. I think it's something that we could make a priority really in any classroom. And it wasn't long ago that I was asked to create some PBL baby steps. Like, what are some small things that you would encourage educators to put in place to start making that PBL mindset a reality in their classroom? Because it's really hard to just jump in and go full on. And so one of those baby steps that I created, I actually shared an episode of the baby steps. If you want to go back and hear them all, episode 36, definitely check that out. But one of the baby steps was creating a product, obviously to be shared with an audience. And one of the reasons I like that idea of them sharing it with an audience is that there's a great quote from Rushton Hurley, and he says something to this effect. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, you know, if your learners are creating something for the world, they want it to be good. If they're creating it for you, they want it to be good enough. Oh my gosh, right? Like, it's so true. It's such a good point. And so creating that product for an authentic audience can, I think, give them more buy-in and they will be more willing to invest. And so let's kind of dive into this idea a little bit. You know, anytime I think about PBL or products or anything along those lines, I always head straight to pblworks.org. If you haven't seen this resource, and you're thinking about implementing PBL, it is definitely something that you want to check out. Originally, this was Buck Institute for Education. Those of us that have been teaching for a while, that's what we knew it as. Now it's PBLWorks.org. And man, they just have so many resources on their website for you to kind of dive into. And they actually talk about products on their website as well. They have something called Gold Standard PBL. And these are kind of the hallmarks of a quality project-based learning experience. When I think about PBL, I just want to clarify this so that every time I say it, you guys know what I'm talking about. When I think about PBL, I'm talking about traditional project-based learning. But I think there's also problem-based learning where learners are solving a real problem. And then my personal favorite, passion-based learning, where students are given the opportunity to pursue their passion to create an impact or change something that bothers them. And so really kind of using passion and purpose to drive that work. And hands down, my favorite way to make learning happen in a classroom. But that being said, one of the articles that I found on PBLWorks.org talked about public products. And I want to share a couple of the things that they pointed out because they were things I hadn't really thought of, but they make so much sense. And so I'll link to this article in the show notes if you want to check it out. But just a couple of things that they mentioned. Number one, they said that products up the stakes for our students. And so basically it leads them to do quality work because of what I just shared, right? If they're creating for an authentic audience, they really want it to be good. I think about my daughter and when she's recording a TikTok, or really any teenager that I've seen recording a TikTok, they'll do it over and over and over again until it looks exactly the way that they want it to. However, oftentimes with the work that they're doing at school, that's not the case. They do the work, they shove it in their backpack, and they never look at it again. That's simply because they get it. They know that the TikTok is going to be shared with an authentic audience. And so they want it to, they know what the stakes are, right? They know that that represents them. And I think the same can be true when it comes to a public product. They actually mentioned in the article, one of the sentences is no one wants to look bad in public. And it's so true. So definitely something to consider. And then another point that they made that I really, really liked was that student products tell the story of the school. I am in Texas, and I can tell you that so much of how our schools are represented here rely on standardized testing and what the school's grade is and all of those things. But the reality is that does not tell the full story of a school. And it 100% a test score does not tell the full story of a learner. And so this whole idea that products can tell the story of a school, I really like, and I think it makes so much sense. It gives people an opportunity to see what they're doing in the classroom and to see that learning from a different perspective. I think about some, you know, learners who may never learn it on a worksheet, or they may never be able to regurgitate what they've learned on a unit test. But sometimes those very students can show you what they know through creating something or making something. And so again, I'll share a link to that article in the show notes, but it's really good perspective around the why behind products and the benefits that they can have. So now that we've talked about kind of why products are important, let's talk about some different types of products that you can encourage your learners to produce in your classroom. I talk a lot, again, about Genius Hour, passion-based learning, but any type of PBL I'm typically a big fan of. But I think it's really important that there is purpose behind the work. And on episode 54, I'm referring to a lot of episodes, but I want to make sure that you can go back and access this information if you want to. On episode 54, I talked about prioritizing purpose and passion. And in that episode, I shared that there are your students need to know why they're working on a project or why they are working on a product. Even if it's not a full-on project, if they're creating a product, they need to think about why they're creating that so they know what's the audience going to look like, who am I trying to impact. And so in that episode, I talked about I may have only shared three, but now I think of these in four different categories. So when you're thinking about working on a product or a project, I think that there are four different reasons that that can happen. Number one is mastery, right? I'm working on it because I want to learn something new or try something different. Number two is kindness. I want to impact someone else in a positive way. Number three is innovation. I want to create something new or make something better. And number four is perspective. I want to change my perspective or someone else's perspective about a specific topic. And when we think about those four reasons that we're working on something, I think that can lead us to what type of project we want to create, or can lead our students to what type of product they want to create. And so thinking about that, I think about the three different, I was really kind of thinking about the products that my students created in the classroom and how those played out. And they really fit into three different categories. And so sometimes they would create a physical product. And a physical product is exactly what it sounds like. It's something that they could see, that we could see, that we could touch, that we could look at. So it might be, I remember one group of students that created a model volcano to teach younger students about volcanoes. And it was a great way to actually not just read about volcanoes or hear about them, but to actually see what it looks like and how it happens. And so that model, creating a model of a volcano, is a great example of a physical product. I also had students who created prototypes of different things, building things out of Legos, creating anything that we could see or touch, that was a physical product. You guys get the idea. I think there are so many different things that we could list out. In preparing for this episode, I'll tell you that I found a few articles or websites that just listed out, like, here are 100 end product ideas, or even pblworks.org has their different types of products. And again, I'll share those in the show notes. But physical products, things that you can see and touch, these are oftentimes the things that we see at science fairs, those types of things. Number two, this was probably one of my favorite types of products because they were so easy to share. And those are digital products. Digital products are products that can be shared online. So I had students who would create a video game on Scratch. If you haven't checked out Scratch, I'll make sure I link to that. But it's a great place for your kids to create a video game or an animation that they can then share with the Scratch community or with your classroom. And it gives other learners an opportunity to play the game that they have created. So Scratch is a great place to start. I had kids write digital books on Book Creator. And again, that just made it really easy to share out beyond the walls of the classroom. Some of my learners would create websites on Google Sites. Just, gosh, I could go on and on. But really anything where they create something that can be shared with a link or could be shared digitally, that was a digital product. And again, I really liked those just because it made it so easy for us to share. The last type of product that I want to talk about is an experiential product. And I think sometimes we forget about these, but experiential products are things that you may not be able to see and touch or share digitally, but they're things that people experience. So let's say your students create a musical or a play, or I'll tell you, I had one student who created a 5K for our community to run to raise money for local animal shelters. That was definitely an experiential product. So those types of products are things that can be experienced by others, and they're not necessarily something that can be seen or shared digitally. So oftentimes when we were going to document those types of products, we would do so through video, through feedback from others, those types of things. So we've got physical products, we've got digital products, and experiential products. But I think one of the things that can help them decide on what type of product they want to create can go back to that purpose and why they're working on their project. So thinking through those, now that we've talked about the different types of projects and products, I want to kind of clarify because I don't want to forget to say this. A lot of people, you know, I talk about Genius Hour, and specifically I share the 6 P's of Genius Hour. So this is a process for passion-based learning that I created and share all of the time. I've written a couple of books about it. I'll link to those in the show notes if you want to check those out. But basically, students would start with their passion. They would plan their project out. They would pitch their idea to their peers. They would work on a project to develop a product and ultimately give a presentation. I oftentimes get asked the question, like, what's the difference between project and product and how do we keep those straight? And here's the deal. Here's the difference. Project is when they're actually working on whatever it is that they're learning or creating. Product is the outcome of that learning and that work. So product is actually something that showcases, hey, here's what I learned, here's what I experienced. That's kind of how I think of those. Project is the actual doing it. Product is the outcome of that, something that they have created, made, or designed as a result of their learning. So hopefully that makes sense. The last thing that I want to talk about in this episode is how do we give authentic feedback when it comes to products? Because this is important. Because when you think about a student working on a product, it typically requires time and it requires them to be invested. And to work really hard on a product and then get a piece of paper back from your teacher with either a number score or even a rubric with numbers, I feel like, I hate to use this word, but it's almost like a little insulting, right? We've all been there when we've worked really hard on something and then somebody walks by and they're just like, good job. It's like, seriously? Like, that's all I get after all of this work? And I think sometimes if we're not careful, our learners can feel the same way. And so we want to make sure that after they've created a product, that we provide authentic feedback. And one of my favorite ways to do this is utilizing single point rubrics. And if you haven't heard of single point rubrics, oh my gosh, again, I will link some resources in the show notes, but let me introduce you because I think it is one of the best ways to give authentic feedback. Single point rubrics are really what it looks like. If you can kind of see this in your mind's eye, there are 3 columns. And in the middle column, it is the criteria for whatever it is that they're working on. So I'll just give the example of a passion project. For me, in the middle, I would have passion, plan, pitch, product, project, product, presentation. And I would have the criteria for each one of those parts of the process. Here are what my expectations are. If it was a specific product that you were giving feedback on, you would have the criteria for this product. These are what my expectations are for a digital product. These are my expectations for a physical product. And these are my expectations for an experiential product. Maybe you have a different rubric for each one of those. Then what's going to happen is on one side of that criteria, it says, these are the things you did well. And then on the other side of that criteria, these are the things you can work on. So you're giving them feedback. It's kind of like glows and grows, right? This is where you killed it. And this is where you didn't kill it. But that authentic feedback of like, wow, they really looked at my product and they're giving me real words and not just a number, I just think, again, can be really powerful. I first learned about single point rubrics from Jennifer Gonzalez, Cult of Pedagogy. And I am so thankful that I came across her blog because I think it's a great way, really, with PBL to give feedback. But I think it can be used in any time a kid is creating a product. So check that out. If you haven't heard of it before, definitely something to consider. I hope that all of this talk about products has been helpful. Again, even if you are not full on implementing PBL in your classroom, whether that be project, problem, or passion-based learning, I would ask you to just consider, how can you start making products a priority? How can you give your learners an opportunity to show you that they understand the content through creating, making, and designing? So think about products, how you could use them in your classroom. I appreciate you listening today. If you have any questions, as always, you can head over to my website, andymcnair.com, and click on Contact Andy. Also, if you want to know more about Genius Hour, if you're just like, what is she talking about? You can also go to andymcnair.com and in the navigation bar, click Genius Hour. So I would love to hear your thoughts, your comments, how you utilize products in your classroom. As always, thank you so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to learn with me today. I absolutely love this community and enjoy sharing and learning with you. Check out today's episode notes by swiping up in most podcast apps. If you'd like to learn and connect more, you can follow me over on Twitter at McNairAN3, and you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Meaningful Mess. You can always find tons of resources, inspiration, and information over on my website, andymcnair.com. Be sure to check out my blog, Genius Hour resources, and so much more. Enjoy the rest of your day, and as always, I hope that today's episode has inspired you to find meaning in your mess.